Monday.
Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development,
the hastiest,
the craziest,
the tastiest
web development treats.
Coming in hot,
here is Wes,
Barracuda,
Boss,
and Scott,
El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax. In this Monday hasty treat, we're going to be talking about habits and how to develop them. As developers, we're always developing websites. This time, we're going to be talking about developing habits. So my name is Scott Tolinsky, and with me, as always, is Wes Boss. How you doing, Wes?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing pretty good. I just got back from FITC Web Unleashed conference, which was super fun. I did a workshop on Gatsby, I did a talk, I did a panel, and I am zapped of all of my energy from talking to people for like 4 days straight.
Yeah, I'm feeling zapped too, although I didn't go anywhere. It's just the nature of having a three-month-old, as I'm sure you're aware. Yeah. So this episode is sponsored by Sentry. Now, Sentry is one of the longtime sponsors over here at Syntax. And it is, if you don't know, Sentry is a service that is useful in tracking all of your errors and exceptions, logging them, and allowing you to make sure that these things get taken care of. Because without a service like Sentry, you're sort of just sort of waiting for your users to report your errors, or maybe you're going to find them yourself. But that's not a great way to do anything, especially when you have production software that people are using. So head on over to Sentry at sentry.io. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word, and get 2 months for free. You're going to absolutely love this service once you try it. It's one that I use personally myself. So Sentry at sentry.io, track all of your errors and exceptions. Okay, so I thought this would be fun. I have been really in the mode of building habits lately, and this is something that I've always been very interested in personally, how to just make things better. But sometimes you get distracted here, you get distracted there, and next thing you know, you fall back into your old ways, your old bad habits or something. And I want to talk about maybe some strategies that I've used or some things that we've done to, well, help you build better habits and replace the ones that are bad with ones that are good. We're also going to be first talking about some of the habits that we're trying to build in our lives right now. And I know there's probably 1,000 more here that I'm forgetting at this moment, but I thought it'd be good. Maybe we can just go back and forth and talk about some habits that we're trying to build here. I think one for me has been, I find it hard to really focus on one project at a time, where I'll have my Figma open, I'll have my code open, I'll have some email open, I'll sort of do an email, and then I'll work on a design, and then I'll work on some code. I'm sort of just bopping around. And this is obviously not really great for productivity or just in general, right? Your mindset, your whole frame of mind when you're working on anything is kind of scattered at that point. So this is a habit that I've been really working to try to be cognizant of, is to be able to focus on whatever I'm working on. And so to do that, I've been really just developing systems to make things easier for myself to quit everything else. For instance, I talked about this in another show. I have an Alfred task that quits all of my applications except for the ones that I need for the task open, right? We're recording Syntax. It quits everything and then opens up Zoom, Logic, and Notion and Slack, because that's what we use while we're recording Syntax. I have one for Level Up Recording. I have one for web development. And overall, these things have really made my life a little bit easier, because if you can run one thing and have it quit all of that stuff for you, then it's not really necessarily a struggle, and you're not just sort of going at this with all your windows open and all your things open. So this one strategy that I've been utilizing lately, and I think it has been working if I'm remembering to run that one Alfred command and turn on my block sites and stuff like that, I noticed it has been working and making myself a little bit more focused while I'm doing just about anything.
Yeah, I've got two sort of habits here. One habit I'm trying to get better at, and another habit which I'm trying to get rid of. It's kind of the funny thing is that sometimes you want to have good habits and other times you want to get rid of bad habits. And the good habit that I want to get rid of, or I want to get going on, is flossing. Every time I go to the dentists, they just berate me, make me feel like garbage for not flossing often enough. And I was talking to you about it, and it's funny that we're doing this because, like, I was like, oh yeah, they always make me feel like garbage for not flossing my teeth, and they tell me my teeth are going to fall out and I'm going to get gingivitis and all these like awful things. So I got this app called Done, which I guess we'll talk about in a second, but that's one thing I'm working out on right now.
Yeah. And we had this conversation off air that I also had a trouble flossing for, you know, it's like I would floss, but I would not do it every night. And it was like, this is like terrible. I feel bad about this. You know, I have good tooth care routine. Other than that, I just really didn't like it. And a couple of years ago, you know, same thing. We got a new dentist here in Denver, and our dentist was like, really like, listen, man, you know, you have to do this. So I got an app to help me keep track of my habits. Again, something we're going to be talking a little bit about. And I have not missed a single day for, like, I think it's been 3 years now, maybe 4 years. But every time I go in there, they laugh about my app that I was like, well, there, we always tell everyone that you use this app to floss every day. And you stuck to it. And I've totally stuck to it. I actually feel ridiculous for not sticking to it earlier. But that's, you know, that's a one for me that definitely took some effort, but taught me that it's like, you can make these small little changes that, you know, you just make it a little change every day. And next thing you know, it becomes your habit. I don't even think about it anymore. One for me that I'm trying to build is the habit of being more efficient with my time, which sort of goes back to the last one. The last one was more or less about being scatterbrained, but this one is more or less about making sure that I schedule time. My calendar's busy. There's no doubt about it. I got tutorials to record. We have syntax to record. I have products to release. I have code to write. I have so much stuff going on. And I find myself, again, not necessarily making the right amount of time for things. And I'll spend, you know, way too long on something that entirely doesn't matter. For instance, I spent a good 2 or 3 days on this issue that I'm having with my migration from Meteor to Next.js. And it ended up not being anything that is essential for my business or essential for me to work on. Mm-hmm. And I wasted so much time on it in reality. And so I would have been better off really, really removing those sort of blank times where you're just sort of just grinding away on something and not necessarily getting anything done. So lately what I've been doing is utilizing a good old fashioned tool called the calendar. And I've just been making sure that all of my time in my day is completely scheduled out into blocks. I'll say, okay, I have an hour and a half to work on level up code stuff. And then I have, you know, 3 hours to work on recording my course and then some time to work on this or that, or an hour and a half to work on email stuff. And I stick to it. I have to stick to it. I only get that time. Once that time's over, I have to move on to the next thing. And that involves a little bit of self-control as well. But simply just having the calendar being all blocked off with, here's what you're doing every second of your day, has really made my day so much more structured. And coming from a workplace environment where you had calendars, where you had to go to meetings and stuff like that, to now being on my own, this has really made my day quite a bit more structured and better.
That's good. My other habit here is what I call mindless context switching. And that is just mindlessly, I'll often just make a new tab in my browser. And for me, it's I'll go to Twitter or I'll go to like Facebook Marketplace, see what kind of crazy stuff's on sale there. and sort of just like see what people are talking about on Twitter. And that's hard because like part of me knows that I need to be on Twitter for my job, and like it's like a large portion of the reason why I can do what I do. But then other part of it, I know that I might be wasting some time, and it's probably better to break that habit of doing it and then intentionally go and do something else. So those are sort of the two. I got flossing, which I want to get better at, and a bad habit, which is just mindlessly context switching. And I think that in order to get rid of that, we'll talk about is replacing it with a better habit.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, this is by no means a complete listing of all my habits, because I'm going to show Wes right now. This is my all of my habits that I track right now. See there's a whole bunch. And so not all of these have check marks. And if you were to look at this, you would be thinking, what are you doing lately? Because there's not a whole lot of check marks on this sheet because I'm missing a lot of them. But another one I have is too much screen time. And if Courtney listens to this episode, she is going to definitely agree with this one. I have way too much screen time. I spend way too much time looking at screens of any kind, whether it's a TV, a Nintendo Switch, or my phone or my computer. It's just about endless how many screens I have in front of me at any given time. And so I've been trying to get better at this. And there are some things that I do now that like intentionally leaving my phone places. Like if I'm getting out of the car and I don't need my phone, I'll leave my phone in the car. If I am doing something somewhere, I'll leave my phone in one specific spot. So that way when I'm, you know, mindlessly doing something, I don't just pull it out and look at it.
Yeah.
That way it can be a little bit more present. One other thing we started is that we're not doing any TV when Landon is awake, except for on, I think like Saturdays, we'll do an hour or two or an hour. On Sundays, we'll do an hour or so, let him watch like a little bit of PBS. But we're doing a whole lot of no TV, no screen time where we can help it, especially because we just don't want it on for him. I have a bad habit of, we grew up with always having the TV on just 24/7 in our house. So the TV was always on as background noise. And I have that sort of comfort of having the TV on, right? So we've started playing music during dinner instead of having the TV on, because that was always a thing in my family, just had the TV on during dinner. So now we'll do music. We'll maybe switch it up regionally. This is actually something really funny. We've been listening to like authentic music from the area in which our food is from. So if we're having...
that's great.
It actually has been great. Like if we're having like tacos, we'll be putting on like authentic, you know, Mexican music, not, you know, I don't know, pop or something like that. We'll switch it up. But thanks for Spotify for that. Just it's kind of funny that we're doing it, but at the same time, it's kind of nice. I really like it. And it's been getting me away from having that screen on and stuff like that. So,
You know, what's one thing we've been doing in our family recently, and maybe over the last month or so, is like our kids love to during breakfast. Like we'll wake up, we'll watch a show, and then during breakfast, they're like, "Oh, can we like turn the TV to the table?" Because we've got our TV on a big mount, and they sometimes want to watch a show while they eat breakfast. And we switched that to the Chromecast. We hooked it up to our Google Photos, and it will just randomly every 5 seconds show us a photo from the past. And it's awesome because like the kids are glued to it. They love seeing photos of pictures of when we were young, and they love seeing photos of just like last week, what they're doing, something silly. And Google Photos does such a good job at showing you one. Like it used to be where every 30 seconds it would change the photo and it was way too slow, but they changed it now where you can do it every 5 seconds. And we find it such a fun way to eat our breakfast or whatever, is just kind of looking at photos and talking about it and being like, haha, remember we did that, or you made such a mess with your ice cream. So yeah, highly recommend putting a slideshow on your TV if you're trying to break that habit.
We have those the little Google Home things with the screen. It's like a Google Home, but it has a screen. And we have those as like digital picture frames throughout the house. And Landon will just stand in front of it, be like, "It's mama," you know, and he'll sweat. He knows.
Oh, yeah.
Because kids are amazing nowadays. You know, he can just know, so he can swipe to go see the next photo. Oh, and there's Dada, Lucy. You know, I mean, it's just so funny. He loves it. So they totally love those photos. So let's talk a little bit about general strategies for building habits, because I've read a lot of books. I feel like I've put a lot of effort into learning how to optimally build habits, even though your brain is sometimes the, you know, even though you know how to do everything, your brain gets in the way, you know, your human intentions, just everything sort of gets in the way. But what are some systems that you like to put into place to help you build better habits? I know I have a whole bunch, so we're going to probably go back and forth on some of these things.
Yeah. The first one, probably the one that we've been talking about already, is have some way to make them trackable. And we've talked about this many times when we have goals episodes. Goals are, if you have a goal that is not trackable, something we always talk about, SMART goals, which is, we'll go back to that episode and listen to it, but we basically want to be able to quantify what it is that this habit is. And by having some sort of app or some sort of way to be able to look at it and say, these are the things I need to do. It is very clear what I need to do, and I need to do them every day or 3 times a week or twice a day. I've recently got this app called Done. and you can put in, I'm just looking at it right now. I have gym 3 times a week, brush teeth twice a week, floss once a day, take your vitamins once a day, and a couple other ones like that. And just getting into the habit of using this app, which is another habit in itself. And I, as like someone who loves the getting things done mindset for doing stuff, I love the idea of just like it being very clear whether it's done or not. You tap it and you see the colors light up and everything like that. So quantifying and trackable is key.
Yeah, totally. So what was the app you said? You said you used something called Done?
Yeah, I just looked up on App Store, like Habit Tracker.
Yeah.
And Done popped up. I'm sure there's 100 other good ones.
There's so many of them.
I was thinking like that'd be a fun like tutorial to build one of these.
Oh, yeah. It's like
simple enough, but hard enough.
Totally.
So which one do you use?
I use one called Loop Habit Tracker. I know it's on Android. I have no idea if it's on iOS as well. It's just Loop Habit Tracker. This app is great because the interface is really nice and it's not like overdone. It does the one thing very well and that's it. It shows you all of your metrics if you click into any one of them to show you like how long your streak's been going. And if you set it to say, hey, I want to do this thing 5 days a week, and then you've done it 5 days a week, it automatically puts check marks in for the next two to say like, okay, you've satisfied your 5 day thing. And I really like this app. You can have as many as you want. You can archive them. You can filter them. And I use this thing pretty much every day. It can pop up with a little push notification at the end of the day to say, hey, did you do this thing that you're supposed to do today? Obviously there's some of my habits that I haven't been sticking to for some reason or another. I really injured my back, which is no surprise to anybody that I'm getting hurt again. But for instance, I have to do handstands every day. You know, that's one of my habits. And that one has been gone completely blank lately because my back has just been killing me. And I don't think handstands are going to be the things that will fix it. So I've been being a little cautious there. So quantifying and making them trackable is key, but also making sure that the app is easy enough and simple enough that you're actually going to stick to it. There's like an app on the Android store. I know it's probably on iOS too, because it's really popular, where it's like a habits RPG. And if you're a fan of RPG games, which I typically am, you can like earn XP and level up and get your character new costumes just through competing habits. And I was like, this sounds awesome. This sounds like the perfect app for me because I like all of these things and it's going to make me stick to it. But I found out that the app was just way too much and not what I need. Like I wanted to do something simple. And because it was like way too much, I didn't use the app and I didn't really stick to the habits that were on it, or I didn't at least track them in the way that I would want to. And so make sure the thing that you're using to track yourself is simple. If it's a calendar, like one of those, you know, classic cats, black and white cat photo calendars, that's like you hang on your wall and you just got to put an X on the date. If that's the easiest way to do it for you, then do that, because whatever is going to make you actually track it is going to be the best option.
Yeah, I agree. This Loop Habit Tracker is open source. It looks like they're working on a web version as well.
Say what?
Although, yeah, web version has one line of console log, hello world. So, looks like it hasn't actually ever been started, but the whole Android and iOS, there's no iOS app yet, but it looks like they are currently working on an iOS app and you can see it on GitHub.
Oh, wow. This is open source.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes.
I love this app. Yeah. A big fan.
Cool. Well, next tip we have here is making your making the habits small enough. Again, just like we talk about goals, don't say like, I want to get better at web development. Make it like, I want to build one code pen per day. And if you make them small enough, you make them quantifiable enough, that's going to actually make you do them. Because these apps don't work where you just put in this like amazing habit that you wish you have, like go to the gym for 6 hours a day and then you put it in the app. It doesn't just work, right? Like you need to actually make it reasonable enough that you can get yourself into that habit and sort of get over that initial hump.
Yeah, that is the hard part, is making it, because you have really lofty ambitions when you make your goals, right? I'm going to do this. But if you make it too intense, you're not going to stick to it. Once you stop sticking to it, you're not going to build those streaks. One thing that I really like is forcing accountability. Like I'll tell Courtney that I'm doing something or making these changes or I would like to do this. And then we'll be sitting down. I'll pull out the Nintendo and I'll be like, all right, ready to chill out. And she'll be like, I thought you were taking a break from screens. And I was like, ooh, you are right. I am taking a break from screens. Thank you for reminding me. So another thing I like to, you know, if you don't have the ability to, you know, to make yourself accountable or have somebody be accountable, I found this thing called the K-Safe. It's a kitchen safe. And if you've ever used any of these like things that you keep your spaghetti in or something on these plastic containers for your kitchen, it's basically that with a timer. And it's super cool because it locks. I got one of these specifically to put my phone in because I have such a hard time being away from my phone. It's a real problem. So I put my phone in there and I can spin the dial and press the button. And I say, hey, do not open for 2 hours. And guess what? I cannot open that thing for 2 hours. It locks it. And like, I would have to take a hammer to it. And I paid $50 for this thing. So I'm not about to take a hammer to it. And so I just got to wait it out for that at 2 hours. And then when it opens up, okay, I can have my device again or whatever. Obviously you should only do this if you're in a, you know, where people don't need to get a hold of you. So like, if I'll do that, if like Courtney's home and, you know, we're supposed to be doing X, Y, and Z, and I don't want to be on my phone or I want to be present, I'll definitely toss it in there and fire up that K-Safe. It's a pretty cool little gadget. I'm really impressed with mine.
Next one, that K-Safe looks pretty cool. I don't know if I think I would just try to cut it open if I was like, I need my phone. It's in there.
You'd have to hammer it. Like, you're not getting it open.
That's pretty cool. but like, what happens if you need it? Is there an emergency or are you out of luck?
No, if there's an emergency, you're probably going to have to smash it. But that's what I'm saying. I would only do that if like Courtney was home. Like, I'm only putting my phone in there if people don't need to reach me. Like, if they can reach Courtney or whatever, then that's fine. I wouldn't probably put both of our devices, or if she's out, I wouldn't put my phone in there. But it's definitely useful to put other things in there. You could put like track if you want to quit smoking, you can put all your cigarettes in there.
Put your vape in there.
Put your vape in there. Yep.
You name it. next one we have here is replace bad habits with good things. So one of my bad habits is just constantly going on Twitter. And the reason why I just go onto Twitter is probably because I feel like I need a break or deserve a break, or like my main thing is building content and recording content. And the reason why I'm switching over to that is because I'm probably tired, or I've hit a point where it's a bit hard for me and I need a bit of a distraction from that. So what I'll do in that case is not just try to force myself to go back to doing that, because I know myself better than that. And I know that that doesn't work. And I know that I'll be unhappy with that. So I just have like a little list on my computer of things that I should be doing instead of that, in like fun things like design a sticker or reply to 3 emails or go drink some water or look at my habits app. And that'll usually be enough of a 5-minute, 10-minute break to do one of these things. And then I can switch back to whatever it is that I'm working on. So being able to identify like, why is it that I have this habit and what better habit can I replace that with?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because if you don't replace it with anything, you're likely to just go back to that right away. When I was in high school, I used to drink a lot of pop. I'm not calling it soda. I'm from Michigan here. We call it pop.
Yeah.
I used to drink a lot of pop. And even, I don't know about into college, I didn't. But, you know, I wanted to replace that, right? And I just started drinking green tea and water. Just drinking green tea and water, drink green tea. I've replaced it. I got really into tea and made sure that it was like something that was like interesting for me. And I looked forward to it because I replaced that. It was definitely a much better experience. And you know what? I like cannot have a pop today. I couldn't tell you when the last time I had one was. So it definitely replaced it for me. Yeah. Except for Red Bull, which I guess I don't really classify as that, even though it is. I don't have a lot of Red Bull, but I'll do it as a treat occasionally, a little treat here and there. Next, a good one is to celebrate your wins productively. Don't, like, if you know your goal is to stop drinking for a week, don't go out and get hammered the very first chance you can get, like, because that's not like,
yeah, don't go drink a case of Mountain Dew.
Yeah, right, that's not productive. That's, you know, that's just like gorging out on the thing that you're do you ever see Heavyweights, that movie Heavyweights with
no, I haven't seen any movies.
Well, yeah, but this was like from a long time ago, and it's not like so in Heavyweights, it's a camp for overweight kids, and they send them there to lose weight. And there's like a scene.
Is that with the blob?
Yeah. Yeah, it's with the Blob.
I've seen that. Yeah. That's like one of like the 12 movies I have seen. Okay, right. Yeah.
Ben Stiller's in it. Yeah. And then there's a scene where they like just absolutely go and gorge themselves after the
the candy.
Eat a whole bunch of food. Yeah. That's not a productive way to celebrate. So make sure that if you have like you could celebrate by doing something that you enjoy that is going to be a nice little surprise or treat for yourself without overdoing it. Like, okay, I survived 2 hours without my phone. You know what? I get to just mindlessly browse my phone for 15 minutes now or something.
Beautiful. What other tips do we have here? You've got keep the streak alive. I think that is the best part about the app is you're able to see your streak and see how long you've done something over the course of weeks and years, and you don't want to break the streak just because of one silly thing. Any other tips that you have there?
Yeah, I like to tell myself, you know, I can't do X until Y is done. So like I really like going to the gym and okay, it's approaching gym time. Well, I can't go to the gym unless I, you know, answer two emails. So then I'll answer my two emails and then I'll get to go to the gym. But I'll make it so it's definitely something that I can accomplish. Not something that's like a huge lofty goal, but definitely something that's like, here's this thing that you've been putting off all day. And you'll just tell yourself, all right, I cannot go do the stuff that I want to do until I do this. And then once you have that in your head, that's how it is. Okay, I just got to go do it. There's so much more to building good habits, though. And I don't know, there was Atomic Habits was a really good book. I don't know if you read Atomic Habits.
Yeah.
You should check that out if you haven't.
Power of Habit is another good one.
Power of Habit. There's so much stuff there. And at the end of the day, I really think it comes down to just like making the movement to do it and not just
totally
not just like thinking about doing it or talking about doing it, like actually making the movement to doing it, tracking it, replacing those habits and get going on it, because they're really not that hard to replace and they're really not that hard to work in there. But you have to do it. So that's all I really have on building habits. It's something I'm super interested in. If you have read any good books or know any good techniques or have any good apps for this, shoot them our way. We will share those up with everybody else on the Twitter feed.
Great. All right. I think that's it. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to hearing what you have to say. And we'll catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.